philanthropic, so long as it abstains from all oppression. For this is a contradiction. The law cannot avoid acting upon our persons and property. If it does not secure them, then it violates them if it touches them. The law is justice. Nothing can be more clear and simple, more perfectly defined and bounded, or more visible to every eye. For justice is a given quantity, immutable and unchangeable, and which admits of neither increase nor diminution. Depart from this point, make the law religious, fraternal, equalizing, industrial, literary, or artistic, and you will be lost in vagueness and uncertainty. You will be upon unknown ground, in a forced utopia, or, what is worse, in the midst of a multitude of contending utopias, each striving to gain possession of the law and impose it upon you. For fraternity and philanthropy have no fixed limits, as justice has. Where will you stop? Where is the law to stop? One person, Mr. de Saint-Cricq, will only extend his philanthropy to some of the industrial classes and will require the law to slight the consumers in favor of the producers. Another, like Mr. Considerant, will take up the cause of the working classes and claim for them by means of the law, at a fixed rate, clothing, lodging, food, and everything necessary for the support of life. A third, Mr. Louis Blanc, will say, and with reason, that this would be an incomplete fraternity and that the law ought to provide them with tools of labor and education. A fourth will observe that such an arrangement still leaves room for inequality and that the law ought to introduce into the most remote hamlets luxury, literature, and the arts. This is the high road to communism. In other words, legislation will be, as it is now, the battlefield for everybody's dreams and everybody's covetousness. Law is justice. In this proposition, we represent to ourselves a simple, immovable government. And I defy anyone to tell me whence the thought of a revolution, an insurrection, or a simple disturbance could arise against a public force confined to the repression of injustice. Under such a system, there would be more well-being, and this well-being would be more equally distributed. And as to the sufferings inseparable from humanity, no one would think of accusing the government of them, for it would be as innocent of them as it is of the variations of the temperature. Have the people ever been known to rise against the Court of Appeals or assail the justices of the peace for the sake of claiming the rate of wages, free credit, tools of labor, the advantages of the tariff or the social workshop? They know perfectly well that these matters are beyond the jurisdiction of the justices of the peace, and they would soon learn that they are not within the jurisdiction of the law quite as much. But if the law were to be made upon the principle of fraternity, if it were to be proclaimed that from it proceed all benefits and all evils, that it is responsible for every individual grievance and for every social inequality, then you open the door to an endless succession of complaints, irritations, troubles, and revolutions. Law is justice. And it would be very strange if it could properly be anything else. Is not justice right? Are not rights equal? With what show of right can the law interfere to subject me to the social plans of Messieurs Mimerel, de Melun, Thiers, or Louis Blanc, rather than to subject these gentlemen to my plans? Is it to be supposed that nature has not bestowed upon me sufficient imagination to invent a utopia too? Is it for the law to make choice of one amongst so many fancies and to make use of the public force in its service? Law is justice. And let it not be said, as it continually is, that the law in this sense would be atheistic,